Okay, well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming. So, I'm Rob Hopkins, for those of you who don't, we haven't met, from Transition Network. And I've spent the last 18 months or so working on the... Oh, hang on, I haven't pressed this yet. Oh, it is on, okay. Is that right? Working on the sequel to the Transition Handbook. And for those of you who know the Transition Handbook, you'll know that it presents transition, the model of how to do transition, as 12 steps. And the history of that really was that from quite early on in Totnes, people started showing up and saying, what are you doing? And how does that work exactly? And we really had no idea because we were making it up as we went along. Like all the great things in the world are made up as you go along. And so at that time, when we were coming up to writing the handbook, the 12 steps felt like a good representative sort of taste of what we were doing. And a lot of people found that very useful in the early stage in terms of having a sense of first you do this, then you do this, and then you might think about doing this. And there was you could kind of see where it was going. But in the time since then, I think it's become clear that it's sort of somewhat deficient as an approach. And certainly in Totnes, we got to a stage where we'd done the energy descent plan for Totnes. So strictly speaking, as far as the 12 steps were concerned, we were finished. And we didn't have anything else to do. And that was it. And we'd done very well. And we could pat ourselves on the back and go on holiday. But actually, of course, really, we'd only just got started. So, and really what transition has been, I think, for the last 5 years has been an experiment. And you've all been part of that experiment. And it's been a simple set of tools, simple set of principles, just put out, made freely available out into the world. And people in cities, in towns, in Brazil, in Portugal, in London, in Scotland, wherever, pick it up and try it out and see if it works. And develop their own way of doing that in a very kind of open source sort of a way. And so what we've tried to do in doing this second book, The Transition Companion, is to try and do something that draws back on that experience and pulls it back in and says, well, what have we got here, actually? So many of you have been part of that sort of collaborative process we've had going on for the last couple of years where you've been asked to tell your stories and share your experience, and then we've written drafts of different things and put them up on the website for people to have a look at and then reworked that and put it up, and people have sent in photographs. And so the book, when it comes out at the end of September, will really be an attempt to capture that and the richness of what people are doing and what's happening. And the idea of them being ingredients came from quite early on when Naresh and Sophie were developing the transition training and were working with the 12 steps and saying, well, they're not really all steps, are they, actually? Some of them are sort of things, and some of them are steps, and some of them are more like tools. So then this idea of them being ingredients started to come out. But what we've done really is, in writing the new book, is to try and capture what people are doing. And so I suppose what we've seen in lots of places is a problem that a transition group will come up against and a solution that they find to that often enough that we can say that is something that would appear to be something that's useful. And so we call those ingredients. And the original idea was based on pattern language. And so the last year's workshop, we did a workshop about transition as pattern language, which was a book by Christopher Alexander that was based on a similar kind of idea of lots of different elements that you put together. But actually what we felt after a while was that every time we put it up on the website and talked about pattern language, nobody knew what we were talking about. And so then we try and say, well, actually patterns are like this. You could think of a pattern as a da-da-da-da. And they'd go, no, sorry, I still don't get it. And then you try again and you write it in a different way. No, sorry. And then you say, well, they're like ingredients. Oh, why didn't you say so? So ingredients is kind of stuck as what they're called. And it feels really useful. And this is my own. I'm only going to show you one slide. But it's a graphic that somebody did for the book. Which is really lovely, which is a little bit hard to see, but you can see it's this sort of idea that actually when you start doing transition, it's like going to the larder. And everyone, so in the foreword for the book is written by Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall, and in there he says, you know, you can give your favourite cake recipe to 20 people, and they'll all make very nice cakes, but they'll all be different cakes. And in effect, what's happening with transition, this is a simple set of ingredients. You know, it's the idea is make a cake, But actually every place makes a cake that resonates with their place, with their culture. But there are certain, you can't make a cake by putting the flour in the bowl first. You have to do certain things first. There are stages to making a cake. You can improvise around those stages a lot. You can draw in other ingredients. You can make a Marmite cake if you want to, or whatever kind of cake you want to. But you have to kind of go through certain stages. So this is one of the graphics that is in the book of actually what the transition larder might look like if we're using this idea of ingredients. And the other thing that we found as well, when we kind of put out to transition groups to ask what they were doing and how it was going and try and gather that story, was the sense that there are very particular stages that transition groups move through. So for example, it's not like you consciously necessarily step from one to the next. You know, we found in Totnes, sort of looking back with hindsight, there was the initial Naresh and myself and other people dashing around Totnes showing films, and it was all very wild and kind of storming and just sort of chucking stuff around and seeing what would stick sort of stage. And then all of a sudden we found ourselves as transition town Totnes. And we didn't sort of note that there was a step where we consciously stepped across, but all of a sudden we were known as transition town Totnes, and we had a sock in my house with some money in it. We didn't have a bank account initially, but we'd become something different, you know. And the whole process was kind of deepening, and it felt like we had to start putting a lot of thought to how we operated as a group and how we ran meetings and how we ran finances and so on. And then there was another stage where we were very consciously trying to really deepen the engagement and going and really working with the council and so on and so on. And then there was the fourth one where we started doing the energy descent plan that we were doing, and it felt like we were starting to do some very basic sort of building about where it's going to go next, starting to think in terms of a larger economy and how all this would scale up for the local economy. So in this process, we're looking at these five different stages, and the first one of being starting out, which is that getting going stage. The next one is deepening, about taking it deeper and really creating an organisation. And then there's connecting, which is that thing about really trying to deepen and broaden out beyond those initial people who got involved. And then the fourth one is building, which is about starting to think, which is where transition really starts to become quite different, I think, from a lot of previous approaches, is that thing of saying, okay, we want to really make localization happen here. We want to be the catalyst for this new economy to emerge, for these new businesses to emerge, for this new infrastructure to emerge. So it's about sort of thinking on a bigger scale in that sense. And then the last one we call daring to dream, because actually after a while you start thinking, wow, actually what would happen if this ended up being everywhere? What would happen if in this county every town, every city had very vibrant transition groups? If every community had its own energy company and its own bank and was producing its own food? So starting to think forward into actually the potential of all of this. So in the books that you've got there, the blad for the book, it's called a blad because that stands for book layout and design. On the inside cover, there's a list. So in the book, there's ingredients, and then there's also tools. So the ingredients are the things that we're going to focus on today. But there's the list there of some of the tools as well, which are things you'll be mostly familiar with, I think.
I take it that's not the fire alarm.
It's a pretty poor fire alarm.
Yeah, that's because my fault is good.
So I'm aware that I am the graveyard shift and it's a warm room and you've just had your lunch, so we're going to get up and move around now. Because what I'm going to do is, so you're part of, having also been part of the experiment of creating this, I want to kind of play around with a way of how we might use these. So what I've done for this occasion, and which Amber has very ably snipped out with scissors the day before we came up here, these are there's cards, and they each have each ingredient has a card, and underneath the there's the name of the ingredient. There's a picture which hopefully kind of captures the sense, the spirit of what that's about, and then in brackets there's the name of the one of those levels that it sits within. And on the back, there's the problem that it's addressing and the solution that it embodies. Okay? So what I'm going to do is because we're about five people too many to do it all together. So I'm going to split you in half, and I'm going to give each group a deck of cards. Okay, and we're going to do it. So those of you who've done a training will know this kind of mingling exercise. So we'll have to keep both of you separate, or my decks of cards will get shuffled up, and it will take hours to sort them out, because we need them in separate decks of cards for the next thing we're going to do. But what I'd like you to do is to take two cards and to mingle around and to go up to people, and you can show them a picture, tell them the name, and then read them the bit off the back. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to do about a 10-minute, quick-fire, interactive immersion in these ingredients, okay? That sound all right? Any questions? So, I don't know quite how we're going to do this. We're going to have to push the chairs to one side, but don't tell anybody. We're not coming back here next to me, so I think we're all right. So we push the chairs to one side, and then have half of you at one end of the room and half of you at the other end. So if you want to take two cards and pass them around. Take two, pass them around. So you need to come over this side so that you all. So if you get in a huddle over here, and you get in a huddle over here. So then the idea is, so you go up to somebody, show them the front of the card, read the numbers over the back. Okay. So how was that? Any thoughts on that? Any insights or observations?
Good way of communicating.
Any thoughts particularly on any of the ingredients that you looked at? Any that you thought, I hadn't thought of that before? Or,
The one on social entrepreneurship I thought was a little confusing, and that I would have liked more time to explore it.
Okay.
So maybe you can explain it.
Okay. I can explain it, okay. Well, that ingredient is all about that step from looking at projects and ideas that come up in the transition initiative and thinking, right, how are we going to fundraise and get a grant to do that, to thinking how can we look at either that particular project or this initiative as a whole in terms of something which acts as a social enterprise. So it's able to function as a business, but it recycles what it generates back into the ongoing project. And that's quite that comes quite late on. That comes in the fourth one about building, because that's really that sort of next step. You know, how when you start thinking about how you're going to be putting that new kind of infrastructure in place, how do you actually make that viable?
Yes, you mentioned about bringing a lot of young people in. What about all of the elders? Because the amount of experience and so on out there in this country has got to come into it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we do it, because in this country we don't honour the elders, and it would be very useful if we could work out a scheme of doing that.
Absolutely.
It's incredibly frustrating. You know, in a group like this, which is sort of what I would say middle-aged, middle-class, intellectual and so on, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, you're missing the point. You know?
Well, there is one about oral history in there, which is very much about going to the elders.
Yeah, but it's not oral history, it's about actually using the people,
yeah,
the experience,
okay,
making use of their experience.
The Great Reskilling had a little bit on that kind of...
In the Great Reskilling, that's definitely a strand in the Great Reskilling one. Any other thoughts? Okay.
That's a great point, actually. You think about the older generation, they're retiring at 65, 70, but they're living to 100 now. So that's 30 years of wisdom, basically,
that's
out there. That's not really tapped.
I've
gotten a lot of calls at the university from elderly people that are retired, and they want to do something. So they come and they call and give me ideas and so forth. So I can just see a huge amount of wisdom out there.
Yes.
So it's just as important as the young generation.
Yeah.
And an awful lot of us are getting retired before we're 65.
And there are a lot of unemployed young people who also would like something to do. So it goes for everyone. It doesn't matter what the age. We should look at the internal age as much as the outer age. Shouldn't discriminate anywhere.
Yeah.
Everyone could be involved if they want to be involved.
Any other thoughts or observations on the ones that you had? Did they kind of make sense? Was it?
I think it's Yeah, so the comment about having the structure, so looking at the structure so that your core group is facilitating other projects, so looking at the administrative support and publicity and the fundraising. I thought that was interesting because you've got it in starting out, whereas I think that's something that comes later on once you've been doing it well, because when you start out you are quite keen to get projects going.
Mm.
But it's later on that you kind of think,
oh,
let's get money and pay someone to do this.
Mm. I mean, yeah, which kind of leads quite neatly into what we're going to do next, actually, which is that, of course, one of the bits that there is in the book that comes before these is telling the story of four different transition initiatives. So Portobello, Bristol, Bungie, and another one that I can't remember off the top of my head.
Tooting.
Very good, yeah. So Tooting. And it tells the story of those initiatives using these ingredients. So first they did this, and then they did this, and then that led into that, and so tells the story. And so one of the things that I was really interested to do once we'd made these cards, and we're thinking that these could actually be quite a useful tool for initiatives in a whole range of different ways, is to get you into four groups, and for somebody in the group to volunteer to tell the story of their transition initiative, but to tell it by using the cards. To try and sort of lay out, if you can, the story of that initiative, and for the other people in the group to ask questions that might prompt that process, because and certainly with the training, Naresh has been experimenting with this as well, in terms of, you know, what are the cards that are left out? What kind of order do people put them in? Because, you know, like you said, there's something that for you seems like something that comes a bit later, other groups do at a different stage. So it'd be really interesting to get four initiatives, stories told around the room, on the floor, that we can then go around and have a look at afterwards and see how these things are laid out in different ways. Does that sound kind of understandable? So if you get into four groups, and I've got another couple of packs of these, and two of them are in order and two of them aren't anymore, unfortunately. But get somebody to tell the story and lay the cards out on the floor and try and see if you can lay them out and tell that story. And if there are things that you haven't used yet, that's fine, leave them at the top. You don't have to try and squeeze them all in sort of nebulous kind of connections, but try and see if you can tell the story. And if we take about 20 minutes or so you've got time to lay them out, tell the story, the other people around, to ask questions, try and prompt that process, and then we'll come back and have a look at that afterwards. Okay? So if we kind of imagine the room divided into four, so you can bring your chairs and make four circles, and then we'll lay them out in the middle. Like all great things in transition, just being part of a complete experiment we've never done before, and it'd be really interesting to get some reflections. And certainly, the way that certainly going around, it's really interesting. Every group has laid them out in a different way. Every group has found different ways to tell their story with that. The whole question about which are the ones that so some groups have laid out. Ones that they haven't used, that just weren't a part of that story, but also ones that they imagine will be in the future, so where they might go next, those kind of things. So it'd be really interesting maybe just to go around and for each person who told the story, just to give some reflections on how that process was. Maybe we start over here, and then finally afterwards, if anybody in the group has any reflections to be really interested in.
It was an interesting thing to do. Interesting how many of those things were actually part of the story. That trying to tell it in a linear way like that, I was aware that I was putting the cards in where we started doing some things, but obviously some of them carry on and are still ongoing.
Just a second, if you want to come and gather around and have a look, rather than half the people going and half of the people going to be able to see past them.
It was really interesting how many things were part of the story.
Yeah.
Where is this now?
This is Transition for Italy, which is in Mid Wales. And there were things that were ingredients that I was interested to see there. So there's something about respectful communication, which obviously living in Wales is really, really important for us being a bilingual community. There were things in it that we started at the beginning, like building partnerships, but they're obviously still ongoing now. So there were lots of those things. So it was more about where we started doing things. Really useful tool to look at what we haven't done or are doing, and maybe things that we could do next, maybe. We felt that that was appropriate. So, for example, oral histories, something that we started looking at and started making roads into doing and never actually did. So, you know, it'd be really interesting to do that, be really rich vein of things to find. And then one of the other things that occurred to me while we're doing it, it would be a really useful tool to think about events or projects or things, that how many of those could you put in it, and then what happens next? And that's not the oral history, but what we're saying about finding the elders, it would be really well to bring the Welsh community in terms of the older people to get their stories of the living in the Welsh and the kind of looking
for them. Without electricity.
Yeah, that's right.
So, also interesting, forming networks and transitions was announced. It was only yesterday I was joking with somebody about, why don't we have a Welsh transition network where we actually group and know about what's going on in North South
For just on reflection from Ireland, that was one of the first things we did, obviously, and it's been really helpful because people are at different stages and need support and help to have a network there that is of similar values and similar communities.
You could link up
with
Welsh Permaculture Association.
We could.
And how was it for other people in groups in that process? What was your reflections?
It's very familiar. You know, some of the challenges are pretty familiar. All the challenges.
It was challenging, yeah, to see so much was being done. You know, mind you, they have got the advantage of being next to the Centre for Alternative Technology. Yeah.
One thing that interests me with this process is the only way I can think of is quantifying what we see in front of us. How many people could put down all the same cards, and I don't know any better way of putting it, if you were to visit different communities, you'd see more or less actually manifest, and people could start a process, they could start raising awareness, and where is that led? They could start connecting with local governments, where does that lead? So, what do these cards actually represent on the ground? And I don't mean that's anything with judgment, I just...
It'd be interesting, different sized cards in a way that you could put it on a large circle, small circle, depending on how much you sort of expanded and potentially quite useful from the game.
And
kind of
like almost like a map where things are connected to
all things around the thing. I was thinking in the States and things like that. There are processes here which we've gone through, but in terms of how much we've actually got out of them, or there might be something else already going on in the city where there is more of that happening than our youth. So, just what does it look like on the ground?
You know what, we could have ended up with this head, but much nicer, but too soon, isn't it? Involved a great map of Wales with all these transition initiatives, all of the kind of visual inspiration, and the Welsh people, and the Welsh people.
Great. Thank you very much. You know where to do this? Do you know
me? Yeah.
Have you crossed to Nottingham?
No problem. Okay, so this is the story of Nottingham, and I was very aware while I was telling it that this is my version of the story. And at the end of it, I did really feel like I've been through some therapy. And I must say that there was a conversation just there about the value of undertaking this process, and I think this has been a very valuable process, and it would be very useful to get people from Nottingham together to do this. Because the story is a very interesting one. And it starts off with a lot of interest, and as it being a big city, starting off with a small initiative in Britain, and suddenly going, wow, with all these people, what are we going to do with them? And I think what we start to see left out of it, in the less outages, respectful communication, visioning, coming together as groups, investing in transition, evolving structure, measurement, inclusion and diversity, education for transition. And these ones are perhaps what you would have expected not to be there necessarily. But I think it's a very telling story that those aren't there. And if I tell you that we get to the stage in Nottingham, what we had was, it started with a kind of central hub starts to get bigger, local groups start forming, I'd say about six or eight underneath. Now there's this kind of almost just disastrous stage really, where there are three local groups left working completely in isolation on their own, and just somebody holding the money in a sock drawer for the central transition and keeping its name vaguely going, and that's roughly where it's at. And I think there's some more interesting stuff here is towards the end, the celebrating comes at the end before celebrating, what's the final one? Before celebrating failure. So there wasn't enough celebrating throughout, perhaps. So there's some really interesting lessons in all of that, and I think it's been a very interesting process. And thank you so much, Joe, for suggesting that Nottingham would make an interesting story.
It's possibly eat the therapy.
I'll buy your pint
there. Were there reflections from anyone else who was in that group?
I've more than
Well, I just think the seeing a long process in increments, and as you say, ingredients, in units, building blocks, is really helpful to understand the mechanisms, the mechanics of it.
You've got plasma resilience towards the end as well, right?
I think the thing about putting the personal resilience at the end was, in my view, that people burnt out.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to do with why at central level it fell apart. Because people were just at the end of their rope.
Mm-hmm.
And just, in a meeting where we tried to get people together to do a kind of, let someone who try and make this work, people just literally got up and walked out the room. Because they just had it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be back.
Yeah, I'm thinking that there's a positive, because with a failure at the end, that helps to rebuild. That's what I was thinking. You can learn from all of this. The next time around, it's going to be much stronger, and then it'll come back around again the same. That's what I felt like the whole process.
Is this very familiar to what's happening in Cardiff, where we get split up into different regions of Cardiff, and now we've reinvented ourselves, strengthening the core group. Some still initial people there, but we've literally done what we've done. We're now back at the reinventing stage, putting more people in, realising more skills, appreciating more things, and getting the message out to a greater, diverse community, rather than just the Watson said earlier, like the middle class, the educated, trying to spread it out because we're learning from that. So
it's important to have that connection to it. You have the earlier group, and then you have some new, really innovative people coming in and music. But you have that connection to each side.
It's very interesting.
It's an urban thing, actually, because we have Wigan as well, and we've got very different diverse communities around. We still stuck with the Wigan group, and I still stuck with the engineers at all, because that's where I live. That's what I'm very interested in, what's part of Wigan. And Wigan doesn't exist other than just an area of transition. Wigan's not transition, but at all, we're just a subgroup. And again, we started to find other people within Wigan now and start some groups of their own, but Wigan ones actually exist only in Wigan now. So I think it's
Which are going off and they're sort of their own projects now, and the steering, you know, cool, there isn't a cool group really, it's me. And actually, I don't even have a bank account, I have because the bank moved and you have to change it. So I have a new bank account. But it's these sort of quite successful things have gone off and they're there up and doing. The centre has kind of disappeared, not in a helpful way as was sketched out in the original. Steps, you know, about this melting red of the core group. It's just kind of stopped meeting, and there's really nothing much to talk about.
Perhaps it's part of the process of the melting
red.
Perhaps the melting red takes longer, and then eventually the groups are sort of all the people.
Well, if we had more groups, if we had sort of energy transport, you know, all those other things that was talked about, you'd be almost got energy group going. Then I'd be very happy to melt away. I don't need to be doing up to meeting.
On my own.
But in fact, it hasn't quite generated enough action.
But it might come.
In my estimation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's interesting to see that on a big city scale, just, you know, a similar process.
Yeah. It's interesting as well in terms of, I know we transitioned to Lancaster, they sort of were active, and then they completely fell to bits. And then about 6 months later, they sort of picked up and started again with some new energy and new people. And they had a process similar to this in terms of the reflection. And actually what's emerged from it is much, much, much stronger than having made. So it's really interesting to hear that process of your reflecting on the cards that weren't included, because that's one of the things that we're very much imagined would come out of this process.
Yeah.
That sense of getting a handle on that.
Certainly, I think that's very wonderful. It's a fantastic tool to be able to do that.
So this is what the chrysalis that is dissolving before the butterfly comes out.
Let's hope. Let's hope. Should we head over to Cheshire? Are we going to Cheshire?
Where are we going?
Cheshire.
Where's that?
In the middle.
Yeah. That's a good description.
The sequence of cards here runs from oral history of the world of storytelling through and along track here. Probably very similar to what we've already seen and discussed. And these are the things that we haven't yet.
Let me
start by complimenting Rob Hopkins, because I would never ever have encountered transition if 2.5 years ago I hadn't gone to the Schumacher lectures and heard him speak and come home to Kingsley, and there'd been a community spirit day of which I got an opportunity to have a stall and to say, come join me and let's set up a transition group. That's point number one. Point number two is, of course, the transition handbook. And the meltdown that was discussed a few minutes ago, I read in the handbook, one of the objectives is if you start it, you must step back. You must withdraw. So the local press rang me 6 months ago and said, what's been the best achievement? And I said, we've got a chair, a treasurer and a secretary, and I don't hold any of those positions. So I'm on the steering group, but I'm able to start to think about some strategic issues, about where each group might next go. And we've got a market group, we've got an energy group, we've got the schools with gardens, we've got a beekeeper talking to the schools about beekeeping, that part of the curriculum. We've got allotments just being approved, 17 allotments in Kingsley. And these groups are starting to work together. As I say, the allotment holders this summer will be helping look after the school gardens while the school's on holiday. So that perhaps the key thing I can say is that if I left Kingsley tomorrow, the transition group would carry on. Because we have 12 on the steering group, we've got 80 supporters on the database. By the way, we use the village webmaster, and he's, you know, we use the website significantly. We also have a Kingsley News document that circulates over 500 households in Kingsley every month. And every month, there's a page about Transition Initiative and what's going on. So,
where is Kingsley?
Kingsley is between Chester and Warrington, south of the Mersey, in a rural part of Britain, not far from Delamere Forest.
And how big is Kingsley?
1,000 people. Susan belongs to Audlem. They also have a transition group, and we know about one another, and we meet. One of the partners we both have is at Rees Heath College at Nantwich in Cheshire. Rees Heath College is our equivalent of the Royal Agricultural College at Cirencester. Very strong on horticulture, agriculture, food, animals, animal welfare and so on. And they have funding. For example, now they've told us we're going to help train your allotment holders in good standards of horticulture. So one of these is building partnerships. That is one of the partnerships. Another I recommend to you is the local county council. They keep us, they come to the steering group, they come also to the energy group, and they keep us up to date with initiatives. And one of the best at the moment is from Cheshire West and Chester. For £49 you can have your cavity walls filled, and for £49 you can have your loft re-insulated. And we're saying to Kingsley residents, you'll never ever get it cheaper while gas prices are going up 18% and energy going up.
What was your sense of the ones that you found were left out? And was there any insight from the ones that you didn't use?
Measurement isn't our strong point. Celebration isn't our strong point.
Okay.
Visioning.
Okay.
Arts and creativity, energy decentralisation, backcasting, scaling up. Strategic local infrastructure, strategic thinking. I can't read those.
When I came on the transition training, the lady who ran it was very strong on a spiritual element. Now, we haven't got that in Kingsley.
Well, just in
very matter of
entirely. It's a spiritual desert.
I can't even get the churches involved, really.
About the energy descent plan, then, have you not? You haven't included it. Is that because you don't feel skilled in doing it, or is there other reasons behind why it's not included?
The energy group concentrate on energy conservation. Mm. So we've developed this scheme with Cheshire West and Chester about insulation of the home. Mm-hmm. In the loft and cavity walls, and energy generation. So we have 5 PV solar installations in Kingsley on roofs, and we also have 2 solar hot water systems. We're on with a project to put solar PV on the roof of the community centre, which is a 10 kilowatt system, and which will generate about £3,000 a year income to the community association. But we haven't done an actual energy descent.
We've got about 8 minutes left, so I think maybe if we move over to Norwich. Thank you for that.
Excuse me, can I just say something about the process of that one? Yeah. Very quickly. I don't know what you did in the other days, but someone had the idea of handing the cards out.
Yeah.
And as gentleman was speaking, someone would say, building relationships, here we go. And someone else would say,
talking about
that.
So I
guess
you're designing a whole activity as we go.
Alright, this is Norwich, east of England. This is the start, 2008, and this is now, that's future. And I've been involved since about here. So there's a lot which has happened before which I haven't I haven't been involved in, but I kind of know about from emails and people saying what's happened before. But that has meant that there are some things where I'm not actually sure whether that's happened, because other people might have done it, but I haven't really seen it. But I think one thing about this, you can kind of see in the shape of it that that we had a little bit going on here. That was before our unleashing. This was the unleashing, where there was quite a lot of energy, and then it slightly started to kind of die out. And then more recently, there's been a lot of activity, and we've got a CSA scheme, and there are things going on. But in the same way as they has been said about some of the larger schemes already, it's split off into these little groups. You know, the CSA scheme has gone and done its own thing, and they're being really successful, and that's fantastic. But we're kind of leaving behind some of the other things which we want to do, but just there isn't enough energy there for them. Then there isn't a kind of coherent core group to start initiating them. That's happened with kind of transport. There isn't really a transport group anymore, or housing, energy efficiency. So in a way, that's in the future. It's either in the future pile, because it's something members of our group really want to do but haven't yet kind of actually done, and some of them are in the not done at all pile, because there doesn't seem to be anyone who's really thinking about it at the moment.
And the ones that there was no place for?
Let's have a look. Oral histories. We have quite a good communication thing in the form of our blog, but not so much oral. Pausing for reflection and measurement, which is part of the reason why these things haven't been done yet, because we haven't been able to measure what's already been done. A learning network. What were the other things? Inclusion and diversity. Celebrating failure. Building partnerships. I think that's something which we really need to do, and haven't yet really been able to manage.
Any thoughts on anybody else who was in this?
He chose not to sort of put in the having an office or not. And I'm wondering, I didn't really ask you the question, is it because of the size again? It's a large area.
It is a large area.
How can you form a locality? Do you reckon that's the reason why, or is it a move?
I think the reason is because each of the people who are really involved, they're located in different places, and if you located it near any particular one of them, you know, if you had an office that was in the centre of Norwich, then you'd leave out to some extent the people who are really active outside of Norwich, you know, just outside of Norwich. So I think that's part of the reason. If there was something, I don't know whether to encourage more people in or not. Everything's really organised by email at the moment, so the office is just wherever each person is in virtual. But then that means you don't get the visibility of other people, and you don't get people just wandering in and kind of wondering what it's about.
One thought that strikes me when you were talking about this is how it kind of dipped in energy, and then the thing that lifted it again was the very practical projects. And it's almost like if you've got those five stages, the starting out, what feels like that fourth step, the building one, of actually, right, okay, so we've got these ideas, we've started all these things up, how do we step these up into seeing them in a bigger context of localization, seeing them in a context of being things that are going to create meaningful employment in this community, that actually that can become the thing that sort of pulls the thing back up again. And it's almost like if you spend too long, that's why it was really useful sort of mapping it out in terms of identifying those different stages to it. But if you stay too long in one of those, but maybe that's when the energy can start to dip out. Because actually then maybe the perception is that you just sit around and talk all the time,
right.
Or the perception is that you're a bit kind of stuck and you're just focused on one thing. Whereas for me, I always historically look at the cooperative movement and how in 1850, 1860, when that got started, that actually the point when that became really relevant to an enormous amount of people was when it started to create lots of jobs for people and started to become a real driver for things going on. And so very much in the Transition Companion, the way that we present transition is that's where the process is going. And actually, if we're serious about localization, sort of intentional localization from a bottom-up sort of perspective, then it's going to be about putting these things in place. And that actually then that's the pull that really starts to draw. And what we found in Totnes, which has been really interesting, is now getting to the stage where we've done an energy descent plan. Not that I'm saying that that's in any sense an obligation, certainly with this ingredients model, it's one option that people can take if they so choose. But we're now getting to the stage of very much having social enterprise as the key focus of what we're doing and looking at all the things that are coming through in terms of how we can make viable enterprises out of those things. And all of a sudden, all these people are starting to turn up and get involved. Who never got involved before.
Mm-hmm.
And people who bring a background of 20 years working in business, people who've gotten a background in finance, and in the same way that many of you were talking about at that early stage, when there was the big voom, and you started showing the films, and you found there was that thing of the serendipity of thinking, well, the right people will come, and the right people came at the right moment at that stage. And actually, that's what we've been finding again, sort of moving into that point. There's all these people who've been in the woodwork, watching what you've been doing, and then actually you get to that stage where you think, oh, okay, right, they're talking my language now, I can get with that. And then it sort of gives it another push.
Yeah, it's kind of so much as an act of faith, isn't it, that you're planting the seeds, and it's, you know, you have to be patient, you just know that in the future it'll start to grow. You've got to sort of do a lot just as an act of faith, I think.
Yes, that's exactly what somebody said to me the other day, that we had done the transition, was that we had planted the seed of the idea that everything is connected in everybody's minds,
yes,
and it wasn't necessarily being reflected in activity under the badge of transition, but it was certainly reflected in the thinking of people all around.
Other organisations take it, which is good kind
of
thing. I'm wondering, in small rural communities like mine, 4,000 people, we don't have a market, you know, we've got two little tiny stores and two gas stations in the whole place. And, you know, I would love to connect with other people in very small rural communities to think about what kinds of things we can do to enhance that economic environment in our community rather than have them all commute 16 miles to the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's a whole different piece of thinking. I know we've got some buildings that could be used, but I need kind of creativity from other people about what we might do.
So any last, just kind of closing thoughts on this as an activity and as an exercise, and how useful this would be as a resource that you might make use of?
I think it's... Sorry.
I would just ask them. That's
it. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that really does sum it up, I think, yeah. I speak as an academic who has actually, of course, written about this and being slightly critical of the 12-step process, not because you ever said it was a 12-step process, but I think because people took it as that. A lot of people, and this reflects, I think, a lot of conversations of people encountering others in groups where we've got to do these 12 steps, we've got to do these 12 steps. And the idea of ingredients just takes that rigid framework away.
Yeah.
And allowing this is a fantastic opportunity as well, and this exercise gives groups, either whether they're starting out, or whether they're a year down the line, 4 years down the line, like Nottingham, you know, and we've come to a bit of a hiatus, it gives a fantastic tool for analysis and for going forward.
But Rob, you make it even harder now for us to explain briefly what transition is.
No, you can still do that. I can visualise these going through this exercise with the group, and then putting that on the wall with a big arrow that says we are about here, so that people can look at it. And every time you have a meeting, it doesn't feel like the last meeting, but you can move the arrow a bit.
Well, that's why I like the idea of maybe having a circle where they can grow. We can see some areas in growing. But for me, in Cardiff, we're
we're looking at the 12 steps. We're trying to. We're mulling at the moment. We've been going since 2007, but still, we're now officially mulling. We've got us on there. But we're thinking we have to complete all the 12 steps before we can even apply to be an official thing. And now I'm seeing that other people are like, this is what we've left out. This is what we haven't done. And some of them are official. And I'm just thinking, wow. We're already there. We're just being.
I think that's an important point to make for new groups that are coming in. You don't want them weighed down by the fact that there's all these ingredients and we've got to do them all. We've got to do them very quickly.
Yeah.
I think the patience and more patience and even more patience really with these groups, because a lot of groups it's 2 years, it's 3 years down the line, and we're still only just beginning to get these things starting.
Yeah, and I think what I've seen has been really useful during this process is that you get a sense of where it goes.
Mm.
And so you can see where you can see what you've done, but then you can get a sense of the ones that you've got left, and you can start to put out.
It would actually help in groups too with the celebration bit, which obviously people haven't been.
There's been not much celebrating.
No, it's not good at
What I found interesting here with what Simon did was to add the second dimension in terms of allowing parallel events on the timeline. And that makes me think what you, David, brought up about quantity, if maybe a third dimension of the impact of each item, like if you could put them on a string or something like that. And one thing I think that you need to keep these ingredients open for crowdsourcing and for evolution, and because there's also like meta ingredients that entail a lot of sub. So there's many things to harvest in the clustering intelligence and in the playlist that these actually come alive in the different localities they're in. There's amazing potential.
Oh, I'm just kind of noticing the relationship between this and Dragon Dreaming Training. I don't know whether that's something that could be taken further, but the way these ingredients lay out compared to the way you might lay out the steps that you need to go through.
Sit down with John and with his cards.
Are there any ingredients missing that people think should be in there?
Well, there are tools. There are the tools all missing, because I didn't want to make it too complicated. But there are the tools as well. So people are saying, where are the unleashings in here? But the unleashings is in the tools.
The thing that strikes me was something that came up earlier on about the using people's experience. You know, like it's like the unleashing the. What was that fantastic thing you said? The creative genius of the community, like finding what's already there.
Yes.
I don't know if that's in there, really. Right. Is that a,
I
is
think
that
that's more
ingredient?
As a kind of just an overall guiding principle.
Yeah.
One thing we would love to do in Cardiff is skills mapping. So as a core group, we'd have access to what people say they've got skills in, not necessarily as a public thing, because we don't want it to be abused. But the idea that we could skill map and think, how can we set up events using the skill base that we know we've got in Cardiff? And it's something we thought about.
And what about enterprises as well? If you know you've got people with certain skills, then it might be easier to create an enterprise.
Yes, yeah, this is one of the networking side of it, where people say, we've got this idea, we don't want to set up and run groups, we'd like to pull people together who said they're interested in those skills. Yeah.
So of course you could always, you know, as well, if your initiative feels a bit stuck, you just shuffle them up and pull one out and say, let's do that. So we've run out of time, but thank you very much for helping to shape this. And what we'd like to do, I think, would be to have like a deck of cards with a little thing in about activities you might use. So over the next couple of days, if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I think of something you could, other activities you could do with those. Do come and grab me and tell me, because we'd like to be able to make this available and useful. And if you could, if each group could just gather all their cards up separately from everybody else and give them to me as coherent packs. Thank you very much for coming. Can we put the chairs back, please?